Thank you so much for coming to the website. Just like to read a few scriptures to you. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. As for my people, God says, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to error and destroy the way of thy paths. Let me read another scripture to you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness, with good works. Let the woman learn in silence, with all subjection. I think this verse plainly teaches that men are to lead and women are to be modest, learning quietly and in subjection. In this way, they prove their claim to godliness. Let me continue to read. Got a lot of scriptures here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, and also 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. I'd like to add some comments to that also. These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou art to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Now what follows are God's instructions for the women functioning in the formal service of a local church. And I want you to pay very close attention to what Paul says. Do you have your Bible handy? All right. Now, he's given instruction for the woman's functioning in the formal services in the local church, which would include Sunday school. He says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I, that is Paul, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, this is the man that had full authority and was inspired by God to speak. He says, I, Paul, suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. In other words, for the biblical Christian, a woman cannot teach with authority in Sunday school classes, Bible conferences, or any such matter like that. When a woman stands before a mixed crowd that includes men and opens a Bible and preaches or teaches, she is taking authority. Paul goes on and says, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. The woman was created after the man and to be his helpmeet, not his head. It's very, very important. Obviously, this is not a cultural matter, but it is based upon the order of creation. This establishment of the principle of order transcends culture. So we can't claim that I don't live in that day and age, and so I don't have to live under that. Paul goes on and says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived, and in the NASB it says quite deceived, was in the transgression. And of course, Paul is referring to the Genesis chapter 3, verse 13 text. So, therefore, again, we see that the woman is not spiritually qualified to teach because of, number one, the order of creation, number two, the facts concerning the fall in Eden. Paul goes on and states, under the inspiration of God as he writes, he says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. In other words, she will be occupying herself with the duties of the home and family as the evidence of her salvation given through the birth of the Messiah, here speaking, because Christ came through the line of the woman, and I will receive her fulfillment of purpose and life in that area. That is where she receives her fulfillment in. She doesn't receive her fulfillment in taking the leadership of a man from him. For Paul concludes and says, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety, in other words, self-restraint. Now there's another scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 14. Are you copying down these scriptures? You wanted some facts why a woman can't preach or be over a man. I'm just giving it to you in the real. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she has brought up children, or if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has received the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Now, here what Paul is talking about is faithful service and home-related activities necessary which qualify the widows to receive church support. Of course, listening to a statement like this today in the society that we live in, you would think I'm a beast of some sorts, as some people think. When I read the Bible, I'm not reading my interpretation in it. This is what the very Bible says. So, you know, what's really surprising to me, I got all these people out here pretending to be Christians, and they're reading the same Bible that I am, and pretending that he didn't say that. He says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. This is the part of the scriptures. Paul says, I would therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. In other words, to be the ruler or despot of the home. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. But that's what some people think that means. No, you are under the leadership of the husband in the home. And then Paul says, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In other words, Paul is suggesting that you want to rule something? Keep that house straightened up. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, Paul writes and he says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. In other words, you want to see further, the women's teaching is home-related activities to younger women and not biblical doctrine. This is talking about the activities. This is how the younger women are to conduct themselves in the home, that they may teach, in other words, encourage. That's a better word in the New American Standard Bible. The young woman is to be sober, to have their husbands, to love their children. That's agape love, since the person cannot be taught to have feelings. This love should come automatically from women for their homes, for their husbands, for their children. Then Paul goes on and says that they are to be discreet, chaste keepers, that is, workers in the NAS translation. Workers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Doesn't say obedient to the bishop, obedience to the pastor, or obedience to the evangelist, but to their own husbands. That's why even a woman in any church or fellowship that I'm in, she is to do what her husband tells her to do, and never to come to me and to ask me if her husband is correct. If he is the head of that house, I'm sure not correct. In other words, this alone would preclude a married woman from working outside of the home, because outside work necessitates her to be under someone else's authority, a man or a woman, other than her own husband. And that's why when that woman works outside of the home, she is under the authority of another man. If that man tells her to come in and go to work, and that husband says, oh no, you can't go and work there until the work is done here, who do you think that the woman should obey? I think that's an adequate question. And, you know, the women today in America would say to the husband, well, you don't tell me what to do. You don't tell me who I'm supposed to be under. All right, that's Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. I'll read the latter part of that verse again, since you want to know where I am, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands. In other words, your first person that you are to obey is your husband. And then he tells you why? Because the word of God is not to be blasphemed. Now, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20, kind of like goes along with 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Are you writing these verses down? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 says, my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, here's the 2 Timothy 1-5, 1 and 5 verse, that is. When I call in to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Paul is speaking to Timothy, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Now, the person teaching in the home becomes the authority. Who is the person that taught Timothy? His mother and his grandmother. You want some authority? You have those children in that home there, sweethearts. Teach those children to be Christians. Turn off MTV. Turn off BET. Are you supervising the CDs that your teenagers are listening to? You want to run something, run that. But no, you're out there in the street, out there trying to, well, wait a minute. Since the parents already are the authority, has God intended it to be from creation? There is no problem in women teaching doctrine to their own children. Oh, yeah. Listen, don't teach it to me. Teach it to the babies that God has given you. Is this offensive to some of you women? I don't know why it would be. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 33b, and then verses 35 and verse 37. That's 1 Corinthians 14, verses 33b through 35 and verse 37. Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, as in all the churches of the saints, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, here again, this is not a cultural factor, but it's established by God thousands of years ago. Now, this that God has established hasn't changed. Now, since we're living in a secular world society where these people disregard God and what the Word says, they reject this. That's why I personally believe that there are very few Christians on the planet. And he says, and if they will learn anything, Paul says, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame, or that is improper in the New American Standard Bible, for women to speak in the church. In other words, women are to look for input and leadership from the man. And the first man that they look for input and leadership is that husband that they married. If he doesn't have the power and the propensity to give you that leadership, stimulate or agitate his ego to get him to get back in school, and so that he might be able to do that. That's your role as helpmeet, ladies. If a man think of himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write, Paul says, unto you are the commandments of the Lord. I want to emphasize that in verse 37. In other words, some of you ladies are saying, well, I'm just a spiritual and I don't have to listen to what John Coleman is saying, what Paul said, or anything. Paul says if you think yourself to be spiritual or a prophet in some kind of things like that, some of these prophetesses running around here, Juanita Bynum and Marilyn Hickey and all these other Hickeys and Bidenums and all this kind of stuff, Paul said, let them acknowledge that I'm writing the commands of the Lord. Paul says, this isn't me. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Are you writing these scriptures down because you want scriptures, right? You want scriptures. Oh, no, I'm not angry with you. I'm happy. You want scriptures. Ephesians 5, 18, and then verses 22 through 24. Listen to these. And he says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Right? That's Ephesians 5:18. Then he says, wives, subject yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. This is very plain in verse 22. Who are the wives to be subject to? Their own husbands. Now, if you can't submit to the husband, that means, well, it's an evident token that you probably have not ever submitted to Christ. That's why when I see these female pastors that are married and they've ruined their husband's life, depleted their egos and taken the headship, and in many cases the church, And woe be unto you, brother, if you're so weak, you can't even take that back. But here Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, for the husband is the head of the wife. Here again, another offensive term in the Bible used these days. But the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, not just a few things. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Wives are to be subject to their husbands in everything. Now, I know this sounds old-fashioned crazy. This sounds like some crazy stuff, man. Some of you saying, you know, I didn't know that was in the Bible, and I don't think I can keep that rule. Well, you need to tell your husband. Because, you see, if he's a Christian and he goes to church and he's read this, he knows the way it's supposed to go. Now the problem is you're hearing it, and you disagree with it. Let me give you another scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Go there with me. No. We're going to take some time with this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. You can read those verses. Then I would like you to pay a little attention also to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Just mark those down. I want you to read all those verses. But in the 1 through 6 verses, Peter writes and says, likewise, you wives, in other words, the same as in submissiveness to government and authorities, that Peter is talking about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, just like he told them to be obedient to the governmental authorities. Peter was telling the whole church, the men and the women, everything. Now he's saying, likewise, in other words, in the same way that I gave directions about how the men are to be obedient to the governing authorities, in the same way, you wives. See, in other words, the men are to be obedient to pay their taxes and do what they're supposed to do. Can you imagine how the men would look at me and say, I'm not paying taxes, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to check the tire in the car, check the air in the car tire, that is? Subject yourselves, Peter says, to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. In other words, even if you marry a man that's not a Christian, Peter is saying to the women, well, God is saying that even for an unbeliever, submissiveness to God, supported authority, is a hard and fast rule. That man is still the authority, whether he goes to church with you or not, ladies. Doesn't matter whether he's a Christian, you married him. This is not a situational or circumstantial or cultural. This is a command of God. And we have many people today that have just flat outright rejected the command. Peter goes on and says, who's adorning, let it not be that of the outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. I think Juanita Bynum, Shirley Caesar, and the rest of these black preachers and prophetesses need to hear this. A meek and quiet spirit. Beverly Bam Crawford, meek and quiet spirit. All these black female pastors is going around here talking, I don't care what he says, I'm meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, is of great price. Peter goes on and says, for after this manner in the old time, this is not cultural, but the old time, this meant holy women, that the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves. In other words, outward adornment should not be the focal point of the woman's life. Rather, her life is to emphasize godliness and godliness under the poise of obedience. Peter goes on and says, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Here we see this same thing repeated three times. Three times Peter's talking about this, being in subjection to their own husbands. Then he says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 12. 2,000 years earlier before this took place. This was not a cultural event. So the argument, well, it was cultural. We don't do that now. Well, wait a minute. If the culture didn't change from 2,000 years from Abraham and Sarah to Peter's time, why would it change from Peter's time to where we are now? And Peter says, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. In other words, you're a daughter of Abraham if you obey the word. Let me give you another set of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 through 10. But I would have you to know that the head, that is, the authority, is right there, you see. And this is looking at, you know, you can see comparative analysis scriptures, Judges 11 and 10 and Ephesians 1:22. That the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Here it is right there. See, this isn't Pastor John trying to be a mean guy. And for those of you feminized males out there that are weak and have allowed your wives to take over the authority or to beat you down and take the checkbook, and every time you say something, she curses you out in front of your children and belittles you, and you're shamed and don't know how to say anything back, I think you need to read this scripture again. Every man, for just as you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Therefore, there's no inferiority is implied in this submissive attitude that the writer is speaking about here. Only different God-ordained roles. That's what we're looking at. God has an ordained role for the men as well as for the women. And every man praying, Paul goes on and says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head uncovered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesied. Now here's direct revelation, which is no longer an active gift for anyone, men or women. But not normal preaching and teaching or prophesying or teaching of the two distinct gifts. You have to keep that in light of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. In other words, what it's saying right here, direct revelation is no longer an active gift for anyone, men or women. Speaking about the head covered. We aren't talking about direct revelation here. For Paul goes on and says, with her head uncovered, she dishonoreth her head. In other words, this is an abnormal situation for women to pray or to prophesy in public, and therefore she must have a visible sign of authority over her. This is what Paul is saying right here. Then he goes on in the verse and says, for that is even all one if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shown or shaven. For if it be a shame for a woman to be shown or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is in the image and glory of God, and the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. See, for this cause, in other words, this is why the Creator daughter is the way it is, ought a woman to have the power on her head because of the angels. See, so here again, Paul refers back to the order of creation, and that the angels are watching in Ephesians 3:10, and for this authority, not because of the curse of the fall, as so-called biblical feminists contend, but Paul is speaking here of conduct in meetings outside the church, and he doesn't speak to church conduct until verse 18. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17, deals with personal conduct outside of the corporate church meetings. Found some other interesting scriptures in the book of Proverbs, and I'm reading from a basically a marvelous report from Bible Discernment Ministries. They compiled all this together, and you can find this whole outline. I think it's a good piece of work, and some of the marginal comments are excellent to help you place your argument. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, as well as Proverbs 14:1, it says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." Now let's deal with the Proverbs 12:4 verse first. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. I know you got that right. Lucy can run her kitchen. I'm a very poor kitchen person. As a matter of fact, I'm a few minutes going to get up and go make a little dinner. It's dinner time. What that does is that consists of me getting a little glassware and reheat up some green beans and rice and have that with a bowl of tea. That'll be my dinner tonight. When Lucy was here, trust me, I'd eat more than that, and it would have some taste to it. But I'm on a health kick now. But you know what? If I were hungry and Lucy wouldn't get up and make anything for me, which her role would be to do, it says, "But she that maketh ashamed is rottenness in his bones." The preacher goes on in Proverbs 14:1, it says that every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. A wise woman is building something up in her house. It's one thing that this house has missed in the past 2.5 years, and that's the touch of a woman. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Boy, remember these words? "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Isn't that beautiful? She'll never rag on him, talk about him. "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth so while it is yet night, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it." Why does she want to do this, Christians? Well, in order to plant and to grow some food for her family. That's why she wants to do it. "With the fruit of her hands," the preacher says, "she plants a vineyard." In other words, she's providing the wine part of the provisions of the house, just as it is providing for food. She was not a real estate lady, as the so-called biblical feminists teach today, but she barters food and wine and garments and sashes. You can see that in verse 24. It goes on and says that she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. In other words, her bartering food and drink. This is not real estate speculation, as the feminists will try to point out. You know, it amazes me how these feminists would take something today and say, "See, she was dealing in real estate, so if you're a biblical woman, you should get in real estate and do with the godly woman." No, it doesn't mean that at all. "And your house is tow up too? Oh, please. Says that her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yes, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh her coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple." In other words, it's a wealthy household. "Yet she works hard. There's no idleness in her. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." In other words, her faithfulness in the house and with the home is very significant in her husband's success. "She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivers girdles unto the merchant." Boy, this is beautiful. And it says that the issue of the working woman is not income, but the focus must be the home and income generated through the home, not necessarily outside of it. In our culture, we have a lot of women that are generating income from outside of the home, and that's all right if the home is in good shape. It's all right. I'm not saying that, as some preachers would say, that they don't even think that a woman should go to work. I don't want to create a Stepford wife, but I am looking primarily at the home. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. In other words, she has made provision for the future. Preacher goes on and says that she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. In other words, she's no lazy thing. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Now, you notice, he isn't worshiping her. She isn't the queen of Sheba. Wonderful verses. Then it says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. In other words, the real credit comes to a woman from her children and from her husband. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, this preacher says, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. What a wonderful definition of the biblical woman. Now, next time I'd like to start with this question. Does God's word allow for a woman to serve as a pastor in the church? This will be a study in the pastoral epistles. And this is taken from Foundation Magazine, July, August, the year 2001. It was written by Matt Costella. We're going to talk about the proliferation of female clergy within the Christian church. And if we have time as we continue on next time, we'd like to give a brief historical look at the views concerning the role of women in the local church. And then after that, the biblical view of women's role in that church and certain principles that women are to teach other women. Principle number two, women are to adorn themselves with good works. Number three, women are to be active learners. Number four, women are prohibited from exercising authority, leadership, or teaching the word of God over men in the local assembly. I don't know why a lot of men have a problem with that. You shouldn't. It is just not allowed. Then we're going to come up with some concluding remarks. Like I said, you can find all this information under Bible Discernment Ministries, and the date that you're looking for will be December 2003, and you should be able to find this article. So join us next time as we come back and I think revisit some real good subject matter. Does God's Word allow a woman to serve as a pastor in the church? A study in the pastoral epistles. God bless you.